Hour number two of D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game National Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Adam Vingan out today, starting his holiday a little bit early. Connor Newt, Derek Mason, Willie Donick in with you on your drive home today. We'd usually do this on Wednesdays, but since we are off the rest of the week, let's go ahead and bring in our good friend Jonathan Hutton of Outkick to have a little conversation with us about college and the NFL in the world of football. Jonathan, what's going on?
Hi, what's going on, guys? Merry Christmas. Happy holidays.
Yes, you
Merry
too.
Merry Christmas?
Yeah, let's start with the Titans, actually. The Titans, right, to me, are weighing two options right here. Either you continue to lose, and I realize this is more of a front office standpoint than a player and coach standpoint.
Yeah.
Either you continue to lose, protect your draft capital, and fold it for next season, or you see what you have out there, continue to develop your young quarterback who you drafted at number one overall, and do your best to compete. I think there's a world where you can do both at the same time, but if we're looking at the extreme ends of the spectrum, what do you think you would do if you were in charge of making this decision for the Titans?
I mean, I would want the number one pick.
Right.
I would want the number one pick. And, with the ability to control the narrative of the draft and the price tag of what that pick will represent. I mean, there's no guarantee where the Titans will be selecting that the quarterback's there. There's a quarterback draft, and then there's the regular NFL draft. Right now, I would presume the Titans are probably staring down an elite player, which is not a bad spot for them because they need plenty of them. But that's the point. They need plenty of those players, not just one addition to turn the corner. But ultimately, I don't want to ever see a team tank, right? I'm not for that. So, the roster, the locker room, the coaching staff, everyone should be professional about this than they have been. But if we're really talking about like steps forward, you got to pair this current rookie class with another one that's going to be impactful within the first 100 picks. You know, I don't know how the win impacts the future of the team, maybe for a week, but not next season. The majority of these players aren't going to be back, and there's not proof of concept when we don't even know who the coaching staff is going to be represented by with the head coach. So, I mean, we do know, though, that the young players, I think this is the positive, we do know that the young players on this team who will be on this team next year are mentally tough and focused on winning. That's a good sign.
Yeah, it is indeed. And you mentioned coaching. Obviously, we don't know who the next guy is going to be, but is there a guy out there you think would fit the mold of developing a young quarterback in Cam Ward?
I think there are plenty of them. The question is pairing when you say young quarterback, I know you mentioned Ward specifically. That's the key, is pairing him with the right coordinator. I don't know if there are more than a handful of true, and Mace, weigh in on this, more than a handful of offensive-minded coaches who can just like plug and play like we saw in Chicago this year. You know, like, and that's the talent of Caleb Williams. But by the way, Caleb Williams and Cam Ward are selected in the same pick. So, you know, that's the standard here that we're talking about. Pairing a true number one coach with a number one quarterback. That's the number one overall pick. They have to get this right. And if they go the interesting part of this is all the defensive coordinator names that are being thrown out there. Most of the time, I mean, you have a spot where young head coaches, for the first-time head coaches, don't really have the staff background put together. You know, like Vrabel was waiting on Ryan Day, and then he ends up staying at Ohio State. He's like the coach in waiting or whatever. And so John Robinson ends up going, with one of his previous interviews, you know, because Vrabel didn't have anyone to turn to at that time. It's interesting to see if they go young defensive coordinator hire to the head coach, who that offensive coordinator is going to be paired with the head coach. That's crucial. And a lot of times, I mean, it's not like the young coaches come in with a huge list of assistants. It burned Callahan. He hired a lot of his friends.
Now, look, at the beginning of the season, we, you know, talked about a few guys that needed to take a step on this team. Obviously, yeah. JC was one of those guys because he was moving yes. from left to right. Peter, and we're talking about young guys. But more yes. importantly, I thought, based on, you know, the weapons that Cam was going to yep. have for the season, I thought Chig was a guy that needed to take another step, and then Tajay was a guy that needed to take another step as well. Yes. I think yes. both of those guys have taken a step to prove that at least – you know, they should be thought of heavily. Now, I know Tajay Spears got another year under his rookie deal, but Chig will be a free agent. Has he done enough for the Titans to think this offseason, hey, we need to bring him back? Not as the number one, because I think ultimately Gunnar Helm is going to be that guy.
I do too.
But bringing back Chig Okonkwo, a guy he seems to be comfortable with, and we talked to TD yesterday, and Chig may be the best guy after the catch on the Titans.
That's great perspective there. But like, I'm always wanting more from him, and it's not
exactly.
all on him.
Yes,
it's not all on him. Like you say, is he worth bringing back? If I'm him, I'm thinking, is it worth me staying if they're not going to focus on getting me the ball more? Because I think it's a great point by TD. Look, I think there's an absolute role for him. I would say if I'm him, I'm waiting to find out the staff, mm-hmm. you know. And is it going to be 12 personnel? Like, is it going to be run based? Is it going to be, you know? We'll see. That benefits him more if it is that, you know. And Tajay Spears, by the way, I mean, he provides another explosive, athletic chain mover. Right. The NFL is a two back league. And this offense really missed his skill set early in the season. And Sunday was the first time he had both 50 yards receiving and rushing in the same game. And the impact was seen on that long touchdown drive, 72, 73 yards on that 90-yard drive. And then, you know, paired with Pollard, who wasn't used much early in the season. There were lopsided scores and other things. And the mindset, mentality of who's calling plays. Now he's, you know, he's got fresh legs. You know, he's got three straight games with over 100 yards. That production in the backfield, I think, is proof of concept that it's helping Cam Ward, who's not having to throw the ball nearly as much. You know, like, he was averaging, Mace, like 35 pass attempts a game through the like first half of the season. Since like week 12, I think he's, you know, or I know over the last 3 weeks specifically, all of those games have been under 30 attempts, which is great for a rookie quarterback. They were putting him in a bad spot to begin with kind of the philosophy of pass to then set up the run.
Yeah, so if looking at Cam and looking at this offense, listen, they haven't won many games. I think it's been two since the bye. They got both yes. of their wins. But they've looked at times like an NFL offense, so to speak, at least, especially the last couple of weeks. So do you see, at least after the half, after the bye week, do you see some development in there in Cam as well as the offense to make you think, okay, if we add more pieces, it may not happen automatically like it did for New England or right. Chicago, but we will put ourselves in a better space than we were the year prior.
Yeah, and I mean, it's worth bringing up for New England because Drake May took a huge step forward.
Mm-hmm.
Huge. You know, but also coordinator. They pair him with Josh McDaniels. Look, I thought the way the entire team played this past game is what everyone wants to see more of. You know, it emphasizes that true – it emphasizes that true improvements are being made. Mm-hmm. And for Cam Ward specifically, this was encouraging. I mean, he put up the start-to-finish performance I've been looking for. You know, it provides room for optimism over cynicism. And it provides room for him to authentically claim more of a leadership role of the team. And I say that authentically instead of just it being handed a C, right? Like, mm-hmm. he's playing his best football of the season without question. And winning the game allows for everyone to see progress instead of like week-to-week struggles that it has been for him throughout his rookie season. But, you know, he's 15 games in now. He's played a full college season now. And it's great to see some signs of life from a quarterback who, like, truly he needed results to pair with his work ethic that he brings every day to the facility. He's extremely talented. The intangible qualities that you want in your franchise quarterback are there with him. So now pair him with the right coach and coordinator and let Borgonzi run the show to improve the roster around their quarterback. But as for Ward, he's beginning to find his footing a bit, I think. And that provides the Titans with an opportunity to win, back-to-back games for the first time since like November of 2022. It's been a while. So yeah, I think there are signs of improvement, Mace. But what I think it's good for the rookie class and the foundation that they have started or tried to start. I credit the players, really. I'm hearing a lot. And look, interim coach, it's not an easy job. But this team, I think the leadership example of Jeffrey Simmons was huge here.
We talk with Jonathan Hutton, OutKick. Now, what do you make of the defense? How do you think? Because, listen, Denard Wilson, he's totally behind the eight ball right now.
No doubt, man.
With the injuries that they've had over the last couple of weeks. They lost another guy, Harris, their starting nickel, yep, this past weekend. So now he's placed, basically playing with guys that, frankly, were not going to play at all or much this season. But how do you think he's doing as a coordinator? And should he get a real serious look at one of the guys that they potentially, you know, encourage the new coach to bring back? Because I think one of those guys is going to be Bones Fossil. If you don't bring him back, something's wrong with you. But you look at Denard and what he's sort of been able to do with patchwork defense, especially the secondary.
Man, what they've tried to do, because again, like it's the numbers are going to be the numbers, right? Mm-hmm. The players, though, are not going to be listed next to those numbers when it's all said and done. I think he's done a nice job giving the situation. Like the defense was doing their fair share of providing an opportunity to win football games this season. For the majority of the stretch where the offense couldn't put up or muster, 13 points a game. That's a very, very low bar for the offense to try to muster whenever the defense is just trying to keep their opponent to less than 13. I mean, that's not NFL quality, right? That paired with all the injuries and different things that have happened. Yeah, I think given the circumstance, it's, at worst, it's just an incomplete given the situation. At best, he's done a nice job to get another opportunity to be a DC. And whenever they hired him, he was Denard was going through the league process of, how they pre-vet coaches, mm-hmm, with the league office. He was doing that because he was going to be a part of the cycle that would get some interviews for head coach at the time. Last year was last year. Results are results, and he deserves a real shot with a healthier roster for sure.
Talking to Jonathan Hutton. Hutton, you mentioned Pollard. Like 3 weeks ago, I would have said 100%.
Washed up.
He's not back with the Titans, and he'll be, one of those backs that is at a certain age that has trouble finding a place to land. Now it seems completely different. We know the Titans have almost money to burn. They've got so much money that they have the luxury of bringing some guys back who aren't great players, but if you want to keep some continuity, would you consider Pollard at all, just keeping him around?
Yes, on the right deal, yes. But I look at the money. So, Willie, I think they have to be very intentional with how they go about their free agency here, just because they have a bunch of money. I mean, Rand was spending money on practically every player, and every player was overpaid. I think they need to go in with the focus and mindset of identifying where they're going to find some hits. You're not going to hit home runs in free agency, but you can find a base hit with Tony Pollard. You can also, there are no home runs, but there are plenty of strikeouts, and the Titans have had those. So, I view this as, at that position, I'm not going to invest a ton of money. I'm going young. That's one of my draft picks is what I'm saying. And I view the wide receiver the same way. Same as pass rusher. I mean, they need a lot. I know they need a lot in the offseason, and they can't do it all in one offseason now. We've heard that a lot. But that's because of what they've addressed in free agency or haven't addressed. Running back? No. I mean, I on the right price, Willie, I'm bringing him back. But again, I don't know why they didn't lean more on the run to help the rookie quarterback, but part of it was just separation of score, right, on the scoreboard. They're throwing the football. But, Brian Callahan wasn't really trying to establish the run at all. And I think that's credit to the interim staff to give him more opportunities in the backfield now because it's impacted the overall play of the offensive line. It helps pass protection because you're not in third and longs. And they've been able to establish a run recently. The O-line's a part of this too, but Pollard's been leading the way. He's a true pro. I like his approach week in and week out. He's a lunch pail type guy. He's not going to be – Tajay Spears is more of the vocal guy. Pollard is lead by example, and I think he does a great job of that.
All right, I'm giving you two guys. You have a choice, one or the other, or you can say punt both of them.
Okay.
Who would you rather have back, Chig or Cushenberry? To me, those are two other guys that they could make a decision on one way or the other. They have other guys, right, that they could use, but, again, in the name of continuity.
In the name of continuity, I'm leaning Cushenberry. Only because of the offensive line has been addressed so much in recent off seasons, right? But as far as availability goes, Chig. So, you know, I'm leaning offensive line just to try to find some continuity because they haven't had that. But Willie, the upside for Chig Okonkwo is still there. And again, I just got through saying like they haven't done well at free agency. They're going to go address center somewhere else. But it's one big, big position that they would leave open that they just spent big money on. I would have to give that another run if you had one or the other.
The devil you know kind of thing. Like I'm curious where they go with some of those guys, right?
Yeah, okay, I mean, I got one. Just be adequate, right? Just like they're doing okay. And again, like the veteran center with a young quarterback, I like that.
All right, one SEC snob question. How much is on the line here? If we know Ole Miss and Georgia, somebody's going down. Alabama's got a really tough draw on the other side of the bracket.
Yeah.
If they're going to make it, they'd be lucky to survive one more week. If they beat Indiana, that'd be huge, but they'd still have to win another game. There's a chance that the SEC doesn't even have a team in the final here. So what about the reputation?
It's – the chants from outside the conference will be louder than ever about the presence of the Big Ten at the top, the top-heavy Big Ten. But the top-heavy Big Ten is adding more pieces to that group, to that tier now with Indiana. And I would point to, you know, they went three teams in for the Big Ten this year. SEC got three in last year. Yeah, I mean, it's been – you want to take the small amount of teams that the Big Ten's going to put in or the group of five or however, yeah, five teams that they got in this year for the SEC, I would take the Big Ten going into this playoff. I mean, and I know that, you know, we're going to see some – it's really Georgia versus – Georgia or Ole Miss against Indiana potentially, unless Alabama pulls an upset, which I don't see happening. But, yeah, the reputation is that. I mean, they would be, what, three straight – championships for the Big Ten, and it would be potentially three straight championship games without an SEC representative playing for the title, which is also unheard of.
Talking to Jonathan Hutton of Outkick. Hutton, as we let you go, I got one more question for you. I just asked these guys this question. I asked Trevor Manich it earlier. When it comes to the group of five representatives in the college football playoff, do you feel it's still a deserved position, knowing what we know and knowing what we've seen the past 2 years from that representative? Or do you feel they should, you know, do their own thing, maybe make their own group of five college football playoff?
I would love the group of five college football playoff. And, there's reports out that, 18 months ago now, the Big Ten and the SEC flexed and said, we'll just do our own thing if you guys don't vote our way. But, you know, the political game of this changes now. Because the SEC and the Big Ten will run the college football playoff. They already do, but the decision factors are just them. In the past, the group of five have been used as chess pieces to get votes on your side because the college football playoff management team or whatever they call themselves, there's 11 representatives there, one from each conference, and that's either a president, a chancellor, or an AD. And you've got this year on that board, you've got, Tulane's represented, I believe. You've got random teams, let's just put it that way. And not football people, but business-minded people from these group of five. So you get more votes on your side to expand from 4 to 12, to expand from 12 to 14. That's how they're going about this, and they use it as leverage against teams like Notre Dame, who hold the same amount of voting power currently. But moving forward, yeah, they could be voted out. And let's be honest here, too. ESPN's going to make this decision. They own the playoff. And if they don't like the return on investment, because they're outsourcing these games now. They sold these two games to TNT and Turner. If they're not going to get the big payday to air these games and sell them, chances are they'll get rid of those matchups and get rid of the blowouts. But the blowouts have happened a lot. You know, like, it's just not expected, is how I would term it. And the when we had the 14 playoff, we had a lot of blowouts. But we didn't go into the game thinking it was going to be unwatchable by halftime. And I did with both of these matchups this year.
He's Jonathan Hutton of OutKick joining the program every Wednesday. We obviously moved it up a day as we're out the rest of the week. Hutton, Merry Christmas to you. Thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you very soon.
Merry Christmas, guys. And look forward to chatting with you next week.
Absolutely.
Will do. Jonathan Hutton of OutKick joining the program. He joins every Wednesday here on DVD. 615-737-1025 is the phone number if you want to get involved in the conversation. Coming up next, you both asked questions that piqued my interest, and I want to address those on the other side right here on D-Mace Vingan and Donick DVD here on 102.5 The Game. Jason Big Joe will be broadcasting live at the all-new Circus Sportsbook Kentucky in Mint Gaming Hall this Monday prior to the Monday night football game. The Monday night matchup is the Rams versus the Falcons. Welcome back, DVD, here on 102.5 The Game. Connor Newt, Derek Mason, Willie Donick, and Breezy bringing us back, which I didn't know he had a Christmas song.
Oh, yeah, he's had this Christmas. It was a part of a movie that he was in. Was it? Something Christmas?
Isn't it This Christmas?
Yes, This Christmas. It's the same as the song. No, it wasn't a Hallmark movie. It could have been on Hallmark, but it wasn't a Hallmark movie. Yeah.
It was a really good movie.
It was a good movie. Yeah, it's really good. It's a part of my Christmas tradition. Best Man Holiday, This Christmas, The Christmas Story. Everybody watched The Christmas Story. If you don't, then
I don't.
You can't exactly. It's on a million times, so you can't help but watch it at least once. And then everybody's. I'm not trying to start an argument, but Die Hard.
I do like Die Hard on Christmas Eve. I don't know why I do like it.
My Christmas package.
I mean, it's hard to miss Christmas Story because I think starting tomorrow it's on. I think
24 hours. It's
TBS
a 24-hour marathon.
For like, 24 straight hours. It's pretty ridiculous.
Are you spinning the tunes today? Is this your playlist for the Christmas? You're doing a good job here.
It's a part of the list that we all sent. Yeah.
Yeah, it was still a part from last week. I played one of your songs at start. I couldn't find But yeah, I had to throw in a SpongeBob reference. I had to throw in like a D-Mace music, and I'm gonna throw a little bit more.
It was a D-Mace takeover. I wanted to know if it was a D-Mace takeover.
Oh, it was not. It was not a D-Mace.
Now I can we can lean that way. I can just start singing Christmas songs.
Taking over. Yeah.
We can do that. It's no big deal.
It's basically David James is the disc jockey, and he's just taking requests.
Man, I hadn't heard that in a long time.
Disc jockey.
That phrase, disc jockey.
Disc jockey.
Do they still use that phrase? I guess so. You use it,
probably not in my lifetime, but I used it. So, anyways, you guys both asked some interesting questions in terms of the Titans to Hutt. And D-Mace, I'll start with yours. You asked about Chig. Chig coming back, or maybe it was Willie, one of you two. I think it was Willie, actually. Sorry. Willie, you asked about Chig returning and what kind of an impact he has provided this season and what he could do next season. I'm curious of your thoughts on that because it sounds like you're in favor of bringing back Chig Okonkwo.
I would go to Chig and I would say, look, you could probably get a pretty good coin on the open market. People are going to be intrigued with you. They might say, in our system, you're going to go to the next level. But there's also a chance he could go somewhere and flop. I'm really curious what the market looks like for him. The Titans have enough money to bring him back. And I think he and Gunnar Helm, if they continue to play together, in theory, that could be really good. Like, if you lose Chig, you're just going to go out and try to find another guy. Or maybe you'll draft. You don't have a million draft picks. Like, the most convenient thing is to replace him with a younger, cheaper player that maybe just has just enough upside or as much upside. But somewhere in here, you need some continuity. Like, none of these guys are great, but they're not bad. I threw this out to D-Mace and Adam earlier this week. At the right price, I wouldn't mind having Chig. I don't know if he blocks the progress of Gunnar Helm. I think, you know, both together could be pretty good, especially if they improve a little bit more.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're kind of looking for, you know what Chig is at this point. He's been serviceable this year and arguably maybe the best run-after-catch performer on the Titans team. But you know what he is. He's not going to be a Hall of Fame-level tight end. Gunnar Helm, I don't think he's going to be a Hall of Fame-level tight end either, but he's progressing, and he's shown results, and he's shown that he's capable of development. So for the right price, I agree with you, Willie. I would consider bringing Chig back. I wouldn't break the piggy bank over him, but I would consider
bringing
him.
It's got to be the right price.
Right. But I don't want it to stop the progression of Gunnar Helm. I would also kind of look at both of them and think, okay, what are the skills of both of them? Chig is more of maybe wide receiver level talent, or traits, I should say. He's fast, but he doesn't do some of the things that most tight ends in the league do, and that's block. Gunnar Helm, I think, lacks a little bit in the speed and the pass-catching ability, but he's capable of blocking. So maybe it's good for the Titans to have one of each, one that's capable of doing both. And I think a lot of that will depend on what does the new head coach want to do.
Yeah, and Chig is a interesting one. One, he's on the last year of a rookie deal. And then two, like Trevor said, like Hutt said, and we've said it a lot on the show, it's almost like you're wanting more from Chig. Like, we know there's more you can give us. Like, this is not the full plate.
Right.
There's more you can give us, but you're not giving it to us. I think, like Willie said, on a team-friendly contract, because I don't think he may get more out on the open market, maybe just a little bit more. But I think if he stays here, he's already built a rapport with Cam. Now, if he goes off and get another contract or a bigger contract with a winning team and a team that looks like they're on their way to the Super Bowl, okay, I can get with that. I understand that. But if you're just trading one team that's, you know, developing for another team that may be a step ahead of them, nah. Yeah. Or half a step, nah. I'm staying here. I built a rapport with the quarterback. The quarterback he's starting to find out I am a player for him. So if that's the case, team-friendly deal, I would think about seriously bringing back Chig, because it accomplishes, I think, one of the things that Borgonzi talked about, or two. It's draft and retain. They didn't draft him. He developed, but I think it encompasses not two, but all of them. They didn't draft him, but he was a draft pick.
Right.
They helped sort of to develop him.
He's still young.
And then now they're able to retain him because he's playing well enough to be retained. So I think Borgonzi and this staff should look at this, and the new coach coming in, that he's already built a rapport with your quarterback. If you can get him on a team-friendly deal, it may even be – Janu signed a deal, I think, after he went to New England. I think it was a 1 or 2 year deal after he went to New England, because he went to Miami. And he was able to parlay that to a bigger contract. That could be Chigakonkwo. Sign a 2 year deal. Maybe it's a 1 year improve it deal. Give him a little bit money up front because you have it. Give him a little bit more and see what he does after that.
Yeah.
Another year with Cam. Cam's developing more. I think he could be that 1-2 punch that you need from a tight end position, a la Likely and Andrews in Baltimore.
Yeah, and maybe that's something you put into the contract. Maybe we'll say, we'll give you this amount of money, but we're going to throw in a team option. And if you don't deliver to the way we expect you to, we can exercise that option and we'll see you elsewhere. 615-737-1025. Let's go to our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Mike is on the line waiting patiently. Mike, go ahead.
How you doing? And Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas to you.
You know, I've asked you guys this question a lot of times. You know, we're talking about players and next year's draft. We lost number one, which makes me mad. because we beat the Chiefs and lost the number one pick. And so if we win the next two games, we're going to go down to maybe 10, 12, who knows, in picks. But the question now is, since we've lost a bunch of picks, who's going to be the coach? And then who is going to be the staff? Is Amy Adams Strzok going to let this new coach, who she picks, because that's going to have to be signed off by her, and what is he going to come in demanding? Will he demand that, look, everything I do is my staff and my picks? Will she do that? And then who do you guys think should be the number one guy for coach?
Thanks for the call, Mike. I appreciate it. I understand what he's saying. Mm-hmm. I think I know what he's saying, actually. He's saying that by losing a top three pick, allegedly, this job is now less attractive. To that, I would respond, it's one of 32. And the other part is, the Titans didn't lose any draft capital. They lost the opportunity to draft number one overall. They still got a first-round pick. That's still something that a coach, probably in the upper echelon of the first round, can look at and say, let's go get our guy.
I think people are looking at it from this standpoint. And rightfully so. People think if the Titans don't get the number one pick, it's not about who they draft.
Yeah, it's about what they get in return.
That's what people are looking at. What are they going to get? Because people don't want them to have draft number one. Right. They want them to have the number one pick, but they don't want them to draft that number one position. They want them to do like they hoped they did they would do last year. Trade out of it. Get a bunch of picks, get your quarterback this year, or get him later in the round, Jackson Dart, whoever. That's what the fan base was thinking. Now it's the same thing. It's not necessarily I want you to pick number one. I just want you to have the option of trading out of that pick to then accumulate other picks that could potentially help you. But what I would say to that is, even if you get a top five pick, you never know how the draft falls. You can move out of that top five pick, move down to 8, 9, 10, still be able to get your guy, but then accumulate more picks within this year's, 26 draft or even 27. So you may not be able to get as much, but then again, depending on this year's draft, besides Mendoza, which one of these quarterbacks are seen as number one overall picks?
And the combine helps a lot with that.
Exactly. So even if they, say worst case scenario, I think worst case scenario would be fifth overall for them. Worst case scenario. I think the Titans, if they play it right, and I know a lot of people are saying we can't count on the Titans to play it right, but if they play it right, they still can accumulate picks based on that fifth or fourth position in the draft.
Somewhere in there. I'll answer the other part. Robert Saleh is growing on me as the guy.
Me too.
I watched them last night. I just think he's got a good presence. He's been through it. He's been through New York. I just think he's super, super respected, and I'm leaning that way. If I had to name one name, that's my number one guy.
I think that would probably be my guy too, Willie. I like what he brings to the table. The only thing with him is I would want him to hire a very good offensive coordinator because he's a defensive guy. We know that. He's probably going to come in here and call the defensive plays, which I'm fine with, perfectly fine with, actually. Watch the new the San Francisco defense. Mm-hmm. You just need to bring in a coordinator that's capable of opening the playbook up to Cam Ward, thus helping his development.
It's starting to look more and more because, you know, Saleh, you know, a year ago he was head coach of the Jets. And, you know, that wasn't going well at all for him. Now, they had a year where the defense played really, really good, and it kept them in a position where they could have been, you know, a playoff team, but it all fell apart. But you look at that and you say, well, was it Saleh or was it the franchise? But then Saleh leaves and you still have the same problems that you were having while Saleh was there, which tells me it's more so, and Aaron Glenn may be able to, you know, survive and work through a lot of that stuff that is going on with the Jets. But it's more and more looking like it was the Jets and not Robert Saleh.
Yeah, and that's usually the case when it comes to Jets head coaching hires and or quarterbacks. Let's quickly go back to our phone lines. Welcome in our good friend Kenny the Mailman, who's been on the line waiting patiently. Kenny, go ahead.
Fellas, how are y'all doing?
Hey, doing well.
Thinking about you, Willie, in this season. We go way back.
We do. We do, Kenny.
Listen,
thank you.
I got a Christmas present.
Yeah, I'm surrounded by family, and so we're all in the same place, and we've got each other, so we're feeling good.
Excellent. I got a Christmas present for all of Nashville. Has anyone there seen the documentary that is on Prime Video called Love You Bum?
I have not.
Oh, my. You've got to watch it. Find an hour and a half, 2 hours over the weekend. It's the history of the firing of Bum Phillips with the Houston Oilers, and the footage is from my teen years, so which was amazing. But Bud Adams jumped the gun and fired him after four double-figure win seasons, which they hadn't had, after the loss to the Steelers in the playoffs. 250,000 people in Houston was at the airport, the interstate, and filled the Astrodome to cheer on a team that lost a playoff. Can you imagine seeing that?
That is kind of wild to think about,
I got to believe John McClain's in that, right, Kenny? Is John McClain in
it? Yeah, there's like three different Houston writers, and I mean, Dennis Quaid narrates it. He said he wanted to do it free because he lived it. But it's an amazing story, but it always repeats itself. But Adams fired Bum Phillips after having amazing seasons, but Bum was old. Amy is going to be haunted by Mike Vrabel for a quarter of a century. He's still a young man coaching. So watch. I promise you, I will not steer it wrong. It was an A-plus documentary. I'm surprised y'all hadn't seen it yet. Y'all have a great, great Christmas season.
Thank you, Kenny. Merry Christmas to you as well. 615-737-1025 is the phone number if you want to get involved in the conversation. We'll take your thoughts and
I'm wondering if Connor, I'm wondering through your head, are you going, who is Bum Phillips?
I have no clue.
You're quite young.
I am,
Connor, but yes. Back in the day, Earl Campbell, Love You Blue, they had some great teams. So they were right there with Terry Bradshaw and the Steelers, just maybe a slight notch below, never could break through. But
was Pastorini on that team?
Yes, Pastorini. Yeah, those are really good teams, and that is the roots of the Titans, right? Bud Adams, et cetera.
I consider myself somewhat of an interested historian in where the franchise came from, but like I know a lot of the players and a lot of where some of this stuff comes from, but outside of that and knowing that the Oilers were on Tecmo Bowl, that's about my extent of the knowledge of Bum Phillips or
Bum
Adams.
Note to self, don't ask Connor about the Houston days.
Did you hear what he just said? He said
Tecmo Bowl.
That's how, like, what I know.
I love Tecmo Bowl.
Hey, ain't nothing wrong with Tecmo Bowl.
We have something at home. It's like this system you plug into the TV. It's got all these old 80s arcade games and whatever. And Tecmo
Bowl's
on there.
Now I'm going to start getting those things on my phone. See, you didn't say it. Now they listening to us. I'm going to start getting
it. Well, yeah, Alexa. And I probably just triggered everyone's Alexa listening at home. 615-737-1025. The Game National Sports Network is your home for college football bowl games presented by Twin Peaks and Parman Tractor and Equipment. Today on 94.9 The Fan, catch the New Orleans Bowl as Western Kentucky takes on Southern Miss at 5 p.m. And tonight on Sports Talk 830, UNLV will take on Ohio in the Frisco Bowl at 8 p.m. For a list of games carried on the Game National Sports Network, visit thegamenashville.com/bowl games. Coming up next, the Titans had a couple of Pro Bowl selections. We'll talk about it on the other side right here on D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Ah, yes, the most overrated of Christmas songs.
What?
I'm sorry.
Blasphemous.
I got to admit, it's a little.
Willie,
this song gets a little too heavily rotated.
Willie, stop.
I'm okay with it, but it's just a little much.
Willie, they can play song every
Back
day.
Back it down just a little bit.
They can play this song every day starting December 1st up until Christmas, and I would love it.
But
just
that's
one
the,
time
I would
every
make
day.
It. I would make it, D-Mace. I would make it.
They've been playing this since November 1st.
Yeah, every day. I was about to say that. That's the problem. They don't wait till December 1st. It's November 1st. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick back with you on 102.5 The Game. Connor Newt, Derek Mason, Willie Donick. Just doing some research on Bum Phillips during the break. He was not in Tecmo Bowl, I can confirm. But speaking of the Oilers franchise, now known as the Titans, there were two Pro Bowl selections for the Titans today. Mm-hmm. Now take what you will from the Pro Bowl, which is a bit essentially a glorified flag football game at this point. But Jeffrey Simmons and Chim Dike named to the Pro Bowl for the Tennessee Titans. They are, surprisingly, not the team with the least amount of Pro Bowl votes. The Saints had no Pro Bowls. I believe the Jets had no Pro Bowl votes coming in. So what do you think this says about the national perception on the Tennessee Titans roster?
I think, you know, these guys have done enough to sort of be outliers on a team that's bad. And not to say that I think Cam has gotten better. I think I'm surprised Peter didn't make it. I think Peter got better, a lot better. I think JC's getting better. But I think those guys, obviously Jeffrey Simmons, he should be, you know, obviously he may not, there's more likely he will not win Defensive Player of the Year because of Myles Garrett and how he's playing. But had Myles Garrett not been playing then Jeffrey Simmons should have been the top candidate for Defensive Player of the Year. So he's a standout. You're gonna know. But I think what DK has been able to do as a rookie with the responsibility that he's been given, not only are you the punt returner, but the kickoff returner, and you know, a starting wide receiver or a guy that's heavily into the rotation, that's a lot for a rookie to take on that first year. And for him to do that and excel and be named a Pro Bowler, I think that means a lot. I just want him to continue to develop and continue to build on what he did. But I think it's sort of a silver lining in a sense to a very, very dismal season.
Right.
The DK story is a great story. I think the Jeffrey Simmons thing is not unexpected. Mm-hmm. I think Simmons deserves a lot of credit for the way he's played, and he's shown that he can be the top level player that he is. I think those rankings next summer, top players at X position, top 100 players in the league, I think he's going to get some stock built up because of the way he's played. But the DK thing, that's exciting, right? He looks like a useful piece. If he were just a returner and made it, that'd be good. He's more than that, right? Mm-hmm. He's going to be a nice piece. If they could ever get the crown jewel wide receiver, boy, what would that mean for DK, for all those other guys, right? Everybody else, I think, would all get better matchups. If they had the one guy, I think you would really have the makings of an excellent receiving core. And DK is a big part of that. That for a fourth-round pick, that's a big hit.
Yeah, I think the DK thing is not only a testament to the way Chim Dike has played both on offense and special teams. I think a lot of the credit should go to Bones Fossil and how he has transformed the special teams seemingly overnight. Like last season and this season's special teams are completely different in a good way. So I think a lot of the credit goes to Bones Fossil. But of course, Chim Dike has been a pivotal part of this season, the little success they've had this season. I think he's going to be a great piece for the future. I'm still not sold that he's the number one receiver on this team.
He's not a number.
I think you got to haul in a crown, like Willie said, a crown jewel, Carnell Tate.
I'm picking, that's who I'm picking.
That's who I would take, yes, for sure. But I think, Chim Dike is going to be a good piece moving forward. And Jeffrey Simmons, like you said, D-Mace, if Myles Garrett did not exist, Jeffrey Simmons, I think, would be the front runner for Defensive Player of the Year. He's playing at an all-pro level right now.
He's playing better than he did the breakout season that he had that ultimately led to him getting a huge contract. He's playing better than that.
Yeah.
And this young man, I still call him young man because he's much younger than me. This young man is playing lights out. And it's unfortunate that – and this is what we sort of talked about during the trade when these trades are swirling around right before the trade deadline. Will Jeffrey be a part of the team that's moving into the new stadium? And if he is, will we still be getting peak Jeffrey Simmons once they move into the stadium? Well, I'm starting to believe that if he ain't peak Jeffrey Simmons, he's going to be damn close. Because the way he's played this season makes me think it's going to be even better. Exactly. It's going to be even better next year.
Yep.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. Willie Al on the text line says, Willie, I backed you with the green Gatorade, but Derek is right. Mariah Carey is not overplayed. What is the green Gatorade?
Oh, let's not get started. Let's not get started.
I'm curious.
It's been months.
We will tell the story of the green Gatorade before the show ends.
Exactly.
Today. Yes,
okay.
We'll tell it before the show ends.
Okay. We'll do that. 615-737-1025 is the phone number if you want to weigh in. Coming up next, Predators general manager Barry Trotz will join the program as he does every Tuesday at 5 o'clock. That's all coming up on the other side right here on DVD on 102.5 The Game.